Hello and welcome back to the Encounter Mercy podcast. I'm your host, Vince Dragone, and today, as always, I have with me Father Andy Boyd.
Hey there.
How you doing, Andy?
Doing all right after being attacked by your vicious dog. What a...
He's
a lover. He's a lover.
He's a vicious lover.
Yes. Jumped right into my lap. After hugging him very tightly for about 5 seconds, he calmly sat down on the floor here and then started chasing his tail and ran back upstairs.
It's 80 pounds of love.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I always wanted to have a German Shepherd. So in a way, I'm a little bit jealous of you. Just, I love Germans. Love Germans.
Well, I love Germans too. And that's not why I got a German Shepherd. You're always welcome at my house and I don't speak Spanish, but mi casa, su casa, is
si,
that what it is?
Si, bien, bien.
Okay, good, good, very good.
Yo soy un piquito.
Oh boy, what's going on?
All right,
on
phone
here?
Call, woohoo!
I'm not sure. My wife is calling me. I'm going to have to text her back here real quick. So, Andy, fill the void of silence.
Silence, silence.
No. Seriously, talk about something.
Oh, talk about something. How about the fact that your dog reminds me so much of my two dogs? So, growing up, I had a Chow Chow Golden Retriever mix. Yeah. And his name was Max. And he was a tiny little, not really tiny. I mean, he wasn't as big as your German, but he was a great dog. And he was a lot like your German, very protective and very lovable.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Let me guess.
Those are the two things that define him. Protective and lovable.
If you try to hug Cassandra, your wife, does that cause him to bark at you or get upset?
Actually, no. So here's the thing when it comes to German Shepherds, that I grew up with German Shepherds, so I'm kind of an expert.
Good.
not really. But what I've noticed is, because I grew up with both male and female German Shepherds, and what I've noticed, and I think what most people agree, is the females are more protective of people,
okay,
of the family members. And so a female would be more likely to have an issue with me hugging my wife,
okay,
or my kids or something like that. Whereas the males don't really care about the person as much, but the property that they protect.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, and having two German Shepherds growing up, one male and one female, I noticed that if someone was coming up to the house, the male was always the one that was freaking out. And it wasn't until the person got in the house that the female
then started was freaking out.
And so it's a pretty cool, you know, way that they handle it.
That is
it.
Nice, yeah.
But
I mean, so we had two dogs growing up. One was a Quiche Hound. And I encourage you just Google it, because everybody, whenever I say Quiche Hound, they're always looking at me like, what are you talking about? She was a little silver puffball, just a cute little thing. But they were bred for mousers. They were on Oriental ships.
Okay.
And they were used to remove any vermin from the ships. And her name was Sheba, and she was a purebred, and boy, did she ever act like it. Wonderful dog, but very stuck up. But she was my mother's dog. And then my dad calls my mom one day and says, hey, we're going to have a guest for dinner. So mom sets out an extra plate at the dinner table, and he comes home to the front door with his big arms full of this big orange golden mess. And there was Max, and he was covered in fleas. And I remember he was sitting in our dining room, and Dad standing outside the dining room window with the shop vac sucking off all the fleas from him. He loved it, every minute of it.
Oh, man.
But he was the protector of mom. He protected her. Like, it didn't matter. Or me. Like, he protected me and my mom. Not so much my older brother, but he was in and out by that point. He was going off to college. But I will never forget, my dad would try to hug my mom in the kitchen because that was like the biggest room in the house, and Max would go nuts. He'd like try to bite my dad or attack him. It was crazy because he was protecting my mom, and didn't matter. He could do anything else. My dad could do anything else in the house. Didn't matter. But if he went near my mom and tried to hug her, oh, that was bad news.
You know, and it's funny. I kind of love that about dogs, is how protective that they are.
Yeah.
It's because like if I'm away, you know, on business or whatever it is, you know, my wife's a stay-at-home mom, and I know she finds comfort in having Oakley around.
Yeah.
because people are genuinely afraid of him.
Yeah.
They may not, they have no idea that they probably just get licked to death.
That's kind
of deal. But he's got the most vicious bark.
Yes, he does.
And so I think it's a good deterrent.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's one of the things that I'm grateful. Yes, Henry is just a big lovable dog, as you saw, and he just wants to sit on top of you. But I'm grateful to have that living alone in the rectory because it has deterred some people.
Yeah.
And I never, they say to me, oh, is he a playful dog? I said, oh, I don't know. You want to keep your distance just so to protect it.
I always tell people if, you know, we're walking Oakley and, oh, does he bite? Well, sometimes you might not want to get too close to him.
Yeah.
He doesn't bite. He's never bit a single person. He's never bitten me or anything.
Yeah.
But they don't need to know that.
They don't need to know that. Keep us safe.
That's right. So spiritual direction.
Very important topic.
I'd like to know a little bit about it. So I've heard a lot about spiritual direction. I heard it's, you know, mainly talking to someone who's mature in their faith to help you grow yours. Kind of the first time that it came to me that I wanted a spiritual director was I was in confession. One of my first confessions coming back from, you know, my coming back into the faith after kind of going away from it through my college days. And I'm sitting in the confessional with the priest. And this is something that had been bothering me for a while. I've always carried a gun since I always could. And something, you know, just leading up to it, it was like, you know, could I take someone's life? Is this something that I should do as a Christian? Is it okay to carry a gun? Is it okay to defend my family? Is it okay to do these things? And I'm talking to Father John Dedish at the time in the confessional. And, you know, he tells me that, you know, both of his brothers are, or two of his brothers are police officers. And he's actually the chaplain for the Erie Police Department, which I had no idea. I had just met Father John at the time. We just started going to church there. And he says, you know what, I don't carry a gun myself because I'd be afraid I'd shoot myself, which knowing him, yeah, he might. Father John, we're talking to you. And we hope that you come on to the podcast sometime. I know you are interested, so we'll just have to think of a good topic for you. But it seemed like he told me that, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. And for self-defense, as long as you're not going out killing people just for fun, but for self-defense, yes, it's perfectly justified as a Christian.
Absolutely.
It's perfectly fine to do so. And so it was just that little bit of, the little bit of help. It was a little bit of counseling for me. And I felt like, wow, there's so many things in my life that are just, I feel are weighing on me that I would love to just to talk to somebody about. But it's been 3 years now and I still haven't done it. And I still don't know exactly what it is because I've never really looked too much into it. And maybe I should have. And I think this would be a good opportunity now, you know, to ask, is this something that I should do? And what is it? What is spiritual direction from your perspective? Because I know that you are a spiritual director for some people.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not just something that I do as a director, but as a directee. You know, I have a spiritual director myself. I visit, I try to get to see my spiritual director at least once a month. And sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't, just because my spiritual director is a monk from St. Vincent Arch Abbey in La Trobe, Pennsylvania.
That's kind of far from here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about 3 hours from here. And so it doesn't always happen, but I try to make a point of it that once a month I go and I see my spiritual director because it is so important to me. Now, there's all different types of spiritual directors. You know, you have priest spiritual directors, you have religious nuns, religious monks, you have lay people, you have officially trained and unofficially trained, you have all different kinds of people that might call themselves a spiritual director. And it's important that we try to make a distinction between the trained, the officially trained, and the untrained, the officially untrained. And I would consider myself a untrained spiritual director, even though, you know, in priesthood, my, you know, in studying my priesthood, I, you know, getting ready for ordination, we had a class on spiritual direction, and I took that as it was a wonderful class, a great experience. But there are people that are trained specifically for the task of spiritual direction. And as a seminarian, we each are required to have a spiritual director. And it is a priest chosen. And it's not just specifically, for instance, it's not like Bishop Persico said when I was in seminary, this priest will be your spiritual director.
Okay.
It is... the spiritual director for the seminarian is chosen from a list of approved priests by the bishop. And so specifically in seminary, it is a priest chosen for the seminarian, because the whole idea is that you're going to be talking with a priest that is someone who has had experience in the priesthood that can guide the seminarian who's studying to be that a new priest, is guiding that seminarian along on that journey. And so when it comes to spiritual direction and who should have a spiritual director, my answer to that is everybody. Everybody should have a spiritual director. And I think that's important because we each are on a journey. And in this journey, we can't just expect it to be something that we can do all by ourselves. And a director is someone that is supposed to, as you said, it's someone who is mature in their faith and helps you grow in your own faith, in your own understanding of the faith. So talking about spiritual direction and talking a little bit about, you know, the fact that, yes, I am a spiritual director for some parishioners, and it's not something I expected that I'd have to get into right away. What would you expect that you would experience in spiritual direction?
So honestly, I don't know for sure. But what I can tell you, what my goals are and what I think it might be is, you know, I want to become more holy in everything that I do. I want to be able to lead my family in faith and, you know, not just myself, my whole entire family. I want to make sure I'm following God's path for me and everything I do. And, you know, two things that I struggle with are pride and being selfish, and among many others. But those are two big ones that I've always pointed out are problems for me. So I want someone to be able to, you know, point out when I'm being too prideful or too selfish in the things that I do.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is definitely something that would happen in a spiritual direction session. And there's a lot of different things that could happen, and it all depends on who your spiritual director is. And for each person, it's going to be a different relationship, right?
Okay.
So like, even if you were to go to the same spiritual director that I have, your experience and your relationship with him would have similarities to mine, but it would be different because you are in a different place in your life. You're following a different career, a different vocation, and that your spiritual director would know that.
So then it's not a cookie cutter experience. It's,
I wish, you know, it would make life for me so much easier and make life for you so much easier. If I could just say, all right, I'm going to slap down the cookie cutter, you better get ready, and we're just going to cut off all the parts that don't fit in. It doesn't work that way.
Okay.
Doesn't work that way.
So would you say spiritual direction is like counseling?
It has aspects of counseling, but it's not in and of itself counseling, because the whole idea of spiritual direction isn't for me to say, well, how does that make you feel? No, it's about your relationship with God. And so when we go into a spiritual direction session, it's, you know, I might start with talking with a person about experiences that they're having in their life at the moment. Okay. Where is it that they are going along with their spiritual directions in their life? You know, I'll ask them questions about, like, okay, so tell me a major event that happened. Because, you see, we are physical creatures. We exist in a physical world. We continue to follow and seek out God in this physical world. We are going to have experiences that we need to try to understand and come to some sort of understanding. And God works through our life. He works through our experiences in this world. And so not all the time is this going to seem like right away that I'm doing spiritual direction, because I'm going to ask you about something like physical, some things that are happening in your life. Like, okay, what major things have been going on for you at work? What's going on at home? Because all those things affect your spirituality and,
sure,
and your experience of God.
Right.
And so having a better understanding of where we are in our lives we also have a better understanding of where God is working at in our lives.
So you did mention that it is for everybody. So it's definitely not something that's just priests have to do.
No.
I mean, priests have to? I mean, so tell me, because I don't know a whole lot about seminary.
Sure.
So you mentioned priests have to have a spiritual director?
The USCCB and the Vatican require that seminarians have spiritual directors. It is recommended, highly recommended, and as someone who sees the benefit of spiritual direction, highly recommended for all priests to have a spiritual director, but it's actually not required. It's not something that they're going to penalize you if you don't have a spiritual director as a priest. But it's important because, I don't know about you, but bouncing ideas off of a sounding board is important because it's not, I could have this plan that sounds perfect to me, but the minute I say it out loud and someone else recognizes that, they can tell me, no, you got this completely off. You got to rethink this. And so spiritual direction is like that sounding board.
Okay.
But it's also where we can grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So does a priest have to? No. Should he? Absolutely, 100%. Every priest should have a spiritual director.
I like that idea of a sounding board because I think we can all relate to that. I mean, I have a sounding board at work depending on what the topic is. You know, I have one. There's a guy in my office that he's been there for a long time. He knows what's going on. And so oftentimes I'll bring up ideas to him. Hey, is this a good idea? And sometimes he'll say, yes, that's a fantastic idea. We've never tried that before. We've always struggled with, X or Y, and this will definitely solve that. Or that's been tried 1,000 times here. It just doesn't work with the culture. He offers good advice in that regard, and we work well together. And I think depending on what the situation is, I have different people that I can go to talk about it. So it sounds like it's a lot like that, where I have a problem, I go to someone who I know is wise and who has been there before and can offer advice. I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah.
And it's just taking that, on the spiritual side of things.
And I think the key there that you mentioned is it's someone that's wise, because it's not just your best friend that is going to automatically agree with you on everything you say. It needs to be someone that when you propose something to them, that they're not going to have a problem challenging you on what exactly it is that you are saying or thinking or feeling, because a true spiritual director is someone who is going to say, no, that doesn't sound like God. That doesn't sound like he's actually speaking to you in that. You know, it might sound like God, it might look like God, but that doesn't sound right. Something doesn't sound accurate there. Whereas a friend or the old saying of an echo chamber is just going to repeat back to you what you've already said. And it's not that a friend can't be a trusted person that can help you along. And we all need good friends, but we also need someone that is wise. Doesn't always have to be someone that's older. You know, all my spiritual directees, everybody that I help guide in their spiritual journey, are older than me. They're all my grandmother's age. In that generation, and I should say all, but majority of them are. And it's not that I know everything, but I have a different experience of faith, and I can take my experience of the faith journey and my experience of God and be able to help them in some small way experience Christ in a new way.
I had a thought, and I completely forgot what it was, and hopefully it comes back to me because it had a lot to do with what you just said. Anyway, so does your spiritual director have to be a priest?
No, and not everybody is going to be able to get a priest. You know, we're kind of in short supply. So,
no,
never, never a thought like that. But there are people that consider having a spiritual director that's a priest as like a feather in their cap, but I discourage that thought process because it's not. I am in a different experience of my faith journey than certain people, and I have a different experience of Christ because of my commitment to Him in the priesthood. And yes, I have that indelible mark that comes forth from ordination, but in the same breath, my experience of Christ is different from another person's, but that doesn't make it better. right? So your experience of Jesus in your marriage doesn't make your marriage better than the priesthood, just like the priesthood doesn't, you know, that your my experience of Jesus in the priesthood doesn't make it a better experience than your marriage.
Right.
It's each for us in our own time and place. So does it have to be a priest? No. There are lay people that are spiritual directors. I was saying earlier that there are some people that are a trained spiritual director. There are courses out there that anybody can go through to become a spiritual director. And it takes time and it takes a lot of learning, but not just a lot of book learning, a lot of learning about ourselves and understanding where God is at in our lives. And so when it comes to this whole experience of spiritual direction, there are some people who are book trained in it in a way. You know, they have gone through a study, a course on it. Or there's people like me who don't have a full experience or full educational background in spiritual direction, but I have a little bit of counseling that we've gone through in seminary, but also a course on it. So a little bit of knowledge of how to help people lead them, be led to Christ. So like I was saying, it could be a lay person, it could be a priest, it could be a monk, it could be a nun. It's who you think would work best for you. I always encourage that women see women being open to seeing other women, and men should see other men, because we each have experiences that we can't truly understand from the other person's perspective. You know, I can understand by via the books about menstruation, but I'm never going to be able to experience that. Just like when it comes to giving childbirth, I can hear my mother talk about it, I can study it, I can go through all these experiences around it, but you didn't carry your children to term, and your wife is the one that had to birth your child, so you can understand it in a way, but you can't experience it in the same level as she did. And so it's good to be willing to talk to others. Most of my spiritual directees are female, but that doesn't also inhibit me from being able to talk with them about the faith, because the faith is a journey that we are all on. Going through this experience of faith is something we are all going on.
Right. So, okay, so you mentioned it doesn't have to be a priest. But if it is, you know, does that automatically mean confession? You know, if you were my spiritual director and I bring up that that I did something that is a sin, can you absolve me of that? Or do I need to have a separate confession? How does that work?
So as someone who is a priest and a spiritual director, I always offer at the end of every session, if someone would like to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, whether it's sins that they've already thought of before our session, or if it's something that has come up during our session that they wish to bring to God. But to understand the sacrament better, anything that someone says within the sacrament stays within the sacrament, right? So there's that privilege there that the sacramental acknowledgement that it remains there, that I cannot and will not ever speak of what is said in the sacrament of reconciliation ever again. It will never come out of my mouth. You can bring it up as much as you want as the penitent, but I will never, ever, not only because I respect the sacrament so much, but just for the simple fact that I won't remember it. I will not remember what anyone said in the sacrament of reconciliation. But there are things that are brought up in spiritual direction that should be brought back up in the sacrament of reconciliation to be able to receive the sacramental forgiveness of sins. And so we come into our spiritual direction moments that we can hopefully, as someone who is a priest being a spiritual director, they would take anything that came up in spiritual direction into the sacrament of reconciliation, but it's not mandatory, right? So a lot of the times I always tell people, because I don't want to seem like they have to do it, but I always offer, would you like to go to confession today? Most people take me up on the offer, but sometimes people don't want to, and it's up to them. Like one of the things they always told us in seminary, your spiritual director doesn't have to be your confessor, but it's good if they are.
Well, and the other thing is, too, if you're not sorry for your sin, and you can't really go to confession for it either. Yeah. So if it's something that you might bring up that, you know, I feel that I didn't do anything wrong, but from your perspective, that's blatantly sinful.
Sure.
I can't confess that because I haven't.
Right.
You know, you can't be absolved of that.
The other thing about it is that in the spiritual direction, time of spiritual direction, the priest or the spiritual director should never impose their personal thoughts or feelings upon it. Now, okay. If someone were to, like, if you were to say to me, you know, Father, I'm really struggling with the fact that I went out and I shot up 10 people, you know, and that's something that you need to bring up to spiritual director.
I would hope that anyone doing that would struggle with that.
Yeah, I would hope too, but you never know. I like to go like Jesus does, go to the extreme sometimes when making examples. But if you came into spiritual direction and you said, yeah, I'm really struggling with the fact that I went and shot up 10 people, you know, obviously I would be like, ooh, that's not so good. You know, that's not so good. Let's talk about that some more. And I would encourage that person to go to the sacrament of reconciliation. Most of the time people are going to be like, yeah, maybe I should go to the sacrament. And but if it's something that is a little more questionable, sometimes, you know, I would never impose upon someone, oh, what you did is evil, just horrible. That's not the point of the spiritual director. The spiritual director is there to bring Christ. And Jesus Christ brings peace, love, and mercy. And in everything that a spiritual director does should be, it should call us back to the recognition that we are not perfect, that we are sinful creatures. But it should also never impose upon someone that they are a horrible person, because we are trying to call people back to Christ. Most people that are coming to spiritual direction are not people who are the hardened criminals. But I encourage those people who are hardened criminals to make sure that they're finding Christ, because you never know when there could be a conversion of heart. There's a lot of work that we do in prison ministry, and there's a lot of conversions, true conversions in prison ministry. So we have to pray for those people that when they do get, if they get released from prison, that their heart might not convert back to that. And so it's in spiritual direction, there's a lot of opportunities to discern. That's the whole point of it. Discern where God is at. Discern what he is doing in our lives. See what he has done. Find out where he is calling us to. And most of my job as spiritual director is to pose questions to you. So for instance, if we say this was spiritual direction, and obviously this is not a spiritual direction thing, if anybody's listening to this. So, but I might pose some questions to you of, where did you see God this week? Or where specifically did you see God working today? And if someone says, well, I don't know, I didn't see God. I said, okay, were you looking for him? Well, no, I wasn't looking for him. Okay, so what is a way that maybe you could start looking for God? Or how are you trying to encounter him? Or something as simple as, how did you feel today? Where did you struggle? Why was it that you struggled with that? So it's something to think about, is where is God in my life? That's something we should be thinking about every moment of every day, is where is God in this? Where is God in this? Because he's calling us back to himself. And so spiritual direction is an opportunity for us to have those questions posed to us, but also for us to reflect on our day-to-day life and try to see where God is working.
And that's kind of what's most important is, you know, oftentimes, you know, I mean, I'm sure most of us, but I, through work, family, all these other things that I have to take care of and do, you know, I forget that God's not in my life, but it's not that I don't see him in these things, because it's like, I've got to put my nose to the grindstone and I got to work on these things. It sounds like spiritual direction just, it brings Christ into your life on everything that you do, and helps to point out that, yeah, you know, whenever you were stressed out in this situation and you didn't know where to go, well, God was there for you. And if you had just looked at him, maybe things would have turned out different. Am I on the right track there?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is that a good spiritual director is going to know how to encourage at the same time as discourage. So there's certain things that we do in our day-to-day lives that we need to be encouraged to keep doing. But then there's also things that we need to be discouraged from doing, but without doing it in a way that causes any chastisement in a negative way where people would become upset. For instance, the job of the pastor, and that's kind of what a spiritual director is the pastor of a soul, is the director of a soul to encounter Christ. The pastor needs to admonish the sinner. Admonishment. So what is admonishment? Well, it's not, you're a horrible person, you're going to hell, let's just beat you up. No. It's, this is not right. We shouldn't be doing this. You know, Vince, no more going out and shooting up 10 people. Can't do that anymore. Or, you know, little Johnny, you can't be kicking the puppy down the street. Or Cindy Sue, you can't be picking on Johnny and plucking his hair.
Some real things like pornography.
Absolutely.
Alcoholism, drug addictions, you know, any addiction of any kind. I mean, these are things that, you know, these are for future episodes we're going to talk about and how these, you know, relate to our faith and how, you know, how we can try to overcome these things. But I mean, those are very real things I'm sure that you hear in a confessional on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And that's something that we need to admonish as a spiritual director to our spiritual children. We need to admonish the children. And so when we see them going down a path that could lead to something bad, we need to admonish the children. Father Ryan Hildebrand, I apologize, Father, if I got your Ryan name wrong, but he posted on Twitter a picture of a sheep. I don't know if you saw this. I tweeted it out the other day.
No.
But it's this really overgrown sheep.
Oh, yes.
A lot of wool on that sheep. And it says, this is what happens when a pastor doesn't admonish the sinner, when you call the sinner back to this repentance and the mercy of God. And he likens that to shearing of the sheep. So when we admonish the sinner, and, you know, it's not that I'm calling out, Mr. So-and-so, you're a jerk and you're a bad person. No, that's not admonishing the sinner. It's calling each and every one of us back to the understanding that we aren't perfect. But guess what? God can make us perfect. And it's when we go to the sacrament of reconciliation that is sheared off of us. But it's through the understanding and the experience of spiritual direction that we have an opportunity to encounter Christ in a new way and to get the direction we need. Because you can come to confession. There's a difference between confession and spiritual direction. You can come to confession and tell me all of your sins, but that doesn't mean we're coming up with a plan of action of how you to avoid those sins. You can come into the confessional. Any man can come into, any woman come into, any person can come into the confessional and tell me, Father, I'm addicted to pornography and masturbation. And in the confessional, the priest's job is to admonish, to, you know, try to help guide them along. But if there's a line of penitence out there, I don't have time to sit like I would love to with each person
right
for an hour and say, okay, you have what you're claiming is to be an addiction to pornography or masturbation. Let's come up with a plan of action that you can take to avoid this. You know, that's kind of what something can happen in spiritual direction too, is an opportunity to go further into why is it that I'm doing this and how can I stop it? The sacrament of reconciliation, which is why I always offer it at the end of any spiritual direction appointment, the sacrament reconciliation forgives us of the sins. The opportunity for spiritual direction allows us to open our hearts deeper and truly encounter that mercy and that love in a new way so we can make a plan of action with God's help to avoid what is leading us to sin.
Yeah, that makes me want it more than ever. So do you mind sharing an experience that you had with your spiritual director as a directee?
So my spiritual director is Father Tom Acklin in St. Vincent's currently. In the past, I've had three spiritual directors, including Father Tom. The first one is a retired Monsignor of our diocese. But when I was done at college seminary, it was my major seminary was 3 hours away. So it wouldn't have done me any good to try to stay with that previous spiritual director because new experiences, new life, and the distance wouldn't allow me to visit him as often as the seminary requires, as well as often as I would have wanted.
Sure.
So changed to Father Tom Ackland during my time at St. Vincent Seminary and have had him ever since. And one of the experiences that I've had is there was a time in my life where I was struggling with not so much my vocation or where God was calling me to, but with all of the requirements that came on top of it. And by that, I mean the classwork, the life situations, the fact that my grandmother was sick and wasn't doing well, and that really was causing me problems in my spiritual life and trying to be able to maintain a relationship with my mother and my father, which has been rocky over the years, maintain a relationship with my brother, which always hasn't been the best. And in those moments of spiritual direction, Father Tom has, first off, he has comforted me in the moments when I'm beating myself up, but then he also calls me out of myself when I am beating myself up and say, all right, knock that off, grow up, let's figure out what we're going to do to make a plan forward. There's so many different opportunities and things that I can think about. We could be here all night talking about stories, but it's the moments that I cherish the most in spiritual direction are when he is able to, first off, calm me down, because I know I'm high strung at time and I have a very short temper. So he can calm me down, focus me back on God, and really help me realize that it's not as bad as I'm making it out to be. It's not as bad as it seems. It's actually something even greater. So it's a place for me to just spill out everything. There's no judgment. Just put everything out there. I can be as angry as I want. I can be as sad as I want. I can be depressed as I want. I can be as happy as I want. And I can just put it all out there. And then he can look at me and say, really? Is that it? This is what's causing you problems. This is what's bothering you. And then I can realize, man, maybe this isn't as bad as I thought it was.
That's a good approach. I like that approach. I need something like that in my life. So, how do you pick the right, like, how would I pick the right spiritual director for me? And like, how would a person like discern, you know, what works for them? I imagine not all personalities work together and some clash. So yeah. How do you find somebody that can be a good spiritual director for you?
So in college, in grad seminary, so after college seminary and graduate seminary, where we study theology, I started out with one spiritual director that was assigned to me by the seminary. And, you know, Father and I got along really well. We had a great relationship. We could joke around with each other. He was funny. It was a great guy. I really enjoy to this day being friends with him. But that wasn't a good spiritual direction relationship. In a lot of ways, we were in the same place with our spiritual life. And there were a lot of questions that I would ask him that he just wouldn't be able to help me journey through. Not that he had ever had to have the answer. Not that the spiritual director is going to give you the answer. You know, you want to ask what's the meaning of life to the spiritual director. Well, I would pray that the spiritual director wouldn't give you an answer, because that's something that we each have to discern.
Sure.
What is the purpose of our life? Well, that's something different. You know, that's a whole nother topic. But the whole idea is that the spiritual director isn't going to have the answer to everything we have questions about. But if the spiritual director flat out can't even guide you to discernment of the right answer, it's not a good relationship. So first off, it needs to be someone that you trust. It needs to be someone that you trust, that you are willing to share your entire life with, your entire story with, and everything about yourself. That's the key. If you are not comfortable sharing everything about yourself with them, then that's not a good person to be your spiritual director with.
So it sounds like you can change spiritual directors if you have to.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So absolutely. And a good spiritual director will know when a relationship needs to end because they can't assist you any further. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing because relationships grow and change.
Sure.
And a good spiritual director will know at their limits.
Very good. So we've talked a lot about what spiritual direction is. Let's just take a couple minutes to talk about what spiritual direction is not.
Spiritual direction is not going to give you an answer immediately.
Okay.
spiritual direction is not going to be something that you can say, like the old eight balls, you know, should I do this? And you shake up your spiritual director and then they spit out an answer. No, that's not going to happen.
Darn it.
You know, spiritual direction is not going to solve all of your problems. Spiritual direction is not going to be your best friend who's just going to say yes to you all the time.
Sure.
Spiritual direction is not going to be something that is going to seem beneficial all the time. Spiritual direction is not going to always be fun. Spiritual direction is not going to always be easy. But what spiritual direction is going to do is going to lead you to Jesus Christ and his plan for your life. It's going to take time, especially if you're starting, when you first start off, it's going to take time. Your spiritual director, if they know about you, it's going to be helpful that they know about your life. And so you're going to have to go through time of explaining your entire life. You know, you're going to have to go through everything about yourself because everything in your life impacts your spirituality in a specific way.
Sure.
So it's going to take time. It's going to take patience. And that's something a lot of people don't have is patience. And I'm one of them. So
yeah, me too.
I'm not really like saying anything to anybody like, you're a bad person because you can't do patience. No, it's going to take patience.
Sure.
And it's going to take love and prayer. And the love and prayer are key and they go hand in hand because not only do you need to love your spiritual director, you need to be able to experience the love from your spiritual director. And you also need to pray for your spiritual director that the Spirit of God might inspire them to give you the words and advice and encouragement that you need.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what advice do you have for someone who is on the fence about spiritual direction?
Go for it. Okay. Contact your priest because they're going to be the one that's going to be able to guide you. If they themselves can't do it, a good priest is going to point you in the direction that you need to go.
Very good.
So that would be the first thing. Second thing is to pray about it. It's to truly pray about it and allow yourself to experience God's love in your prayer and see where he is calling you to.
And so would you share the same advice with young people and college students? I mean,
oh, absolutely. I mean, the most important thing that we can do during our college years or our young formative life is to have that person that is going to guide them to Christ. Because, you know, and I know very well during our times in college, even though we went to two separate colleges, we always hung out together.
Yeah.
It's a formative time of our life when a lot of decisions have to be made.
Sure.
You know, I used to be the, you guys always hated me because I'd pull out something and you all would be like, oh, shut up, Andy, come on, knock it off. But it's the most important thing because, there's a lot of people that put a great mask of smiles on and deep down inside they're hurting.
Yes.
And they're looking for something more. And it's in those moments of spiritual direction that we should allow ourselves to be vulnerable with our emotions, with ourselves, and allow God into those moments when we are suffering, when we are sad, allowing God to come into our hearts and truly give us the peace that we need. And as someone who is a spiritual director and a spiritual directee, it's so important that we are vulnerable with ourselves, but we do so in a safe place where we have someone to guide us to Christ and his love for us.
So, you know, I went to a Catholic college, but I just wish we had more resources like this where they pointed us in that direction. You know, it was kind of a lot of hands off on a lot of things. I really wish they would have pushed spiritual direction and going to mass on Sunday. I mean, these are all things that we're, I guess, supposed to know at this time going in, but it's college. And it was very much, I felt like I was at a secular college for the most part. And I really wish there was a bit more of bringing back to the faith. And if you're going to call yourself, if you're going to be a Catholic college, you should have those resources and make them readily available. And to know that the students should know that those are there if you really need them to. And maybe they were, and I just didn't notice it because at the time it wasn't something that was on my mind. But I really encourage anyone who is in college to, you know, to reach out to these things because, you know, I, as many students are, I was lost. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. And, you know, you fall into peer pressure. And I know I did for sure.
And I think that I think that is definitely important that we continue to put these things out there, because whatever happened in the past, it is now, you know, we now have an opportunity, and we have my fellow leaders in the vineyard out there, all those who are pastors, priests, as well as campus ministers, we have an obligation to our youth to spread this information
and Amen.
To be able to make these opportunities available. And maybe you yourself don't feel that you are able to be called to the role of spiritual director, but you have an opportunity and you have an obligation to try to help our youth and our young adults find a spiritual director.
Yes.
And so if we can work as people who are able to create these networking opportunities, these ability to create these places, you know, then we have an opportunity to grow as a Christian people. So it's not something that is readily known or readily available, but it is definitely something that is growing. And we all have an opportunity to take advantage of this experience.
All right. So this has been great. Thank you very much. I have two final questions for you. One is, what is your favorite thing about being a spiritual director? And the other is, what is some of your advice for other spiritual directors out there?
Well, you know, I think it's not so much even just being a spiritual director, but being a priest and a father of a community, having the ability to see people grow in their faith, and come to a greater understanding of God in their lives. I shared a book with one of my spiritual directees, and she said it completely changed her view of God. And that is the goal of spiritual direction, is for me to not change it from something good to something bad, but rather changing it and making it grow. And where she was with her relationship with God to where she is now is a completely different change in her experience. And I'm not that good of a spiritual director. And I don't say that because I'm like, you know, oh, look at me, I'm trying to be humble. No, I'm not that good of a spiritual director. I know I have stuff to grow. And I encourage anybody that is a spiritual director that we need to continue to grow in our own faith journeys so that we can help others along the way. And so one of the things that my spiritual director always reminds me is that a good spiritual director has his own spiritual director. So it's something that we, you know, I don't have all the answers. I never will, but I can go to another priest and someone that I trust and say, this is what I'm experiencing. Help me find God.
And I have a good friend who always says, sometimes we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's the benefit of having someone who you can turn to help when you don't know.
And we're all on this journey together. And as much as we try to know everything, we never will. And so we have to continue to journey forward and to recognize when we ourselves don't know everything and be okay with that so that we can learn and we can continue to teach others.
Excellent. So we're pretty much at the 48-minute mark here, going on 49. So Andy, give me a good call to action for all of our listeners here.
I encourage every single person, doesn't matter how old or how young you are, to truly discern where God is at in your life. And if you can do it on your own, to give me a call, because I would love to know what your trick is to be able to find God by yourself. And if you can't,
because you are a saint on earth.
That's right. If you can do that, then you truly are a saint walking among us. But if you can't, I encourage you, don't sit and stew alone. Reach out to your parish community, reach out to your priest and the pastors and people who are here to guide you, your religious ed directors, your youth ministers. Reach out and talk with them. Don't hide from your feelings. Don't hide from the reality. But don't let those feelings to run your life. Don't let your feelings run your life. Allow God to run your life. And the only way that we can truly see where God is working at in our lives is if we place ourselves before Him. And the best way to do that and to discern His life, His will for our lives, is to take advantage of spiritual direction, and most importantly, take advantage of the sacrament of reconciliation so that we can truly encounter him in a new and greater way, allowing for his mercy, his love, and his forgiveness to pour out over us and to wash us clean so that we can enter into the eternal kingdom.
Wow. Excellent. So you heard it from Andy yourself, folks, and I encourage you, whoever you are, wherever you are in your faith journey, whether you're just coming back to the faith, whether you're questioning your faith, or whether you're my grandmother who has been involved in the faith for her whole entire life and is one of the most devout Catholics that I know, find a spiritual director. Find someone who can help you. I know I'm going to continue my search, and I will find somebody, and I might have an idea who it is, and we'll have to see if he's interested in it. So I ask that you subscribe if you haven't subscribed to our podcast already. We are in all the podcast platforms that you can find, such as iTunes. What are some other ones? Spotify. The Android ones, all of those. Like us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're going to be on YouTube if we're not already by the time you hear this. And please submit your questions and feedback to us on our social media platforms, as well as ideas for future episodes. We have a, what is it called? Google Voice.
That's right.
We have a Google Voice number that will be linked in the description. So if you would like to call in, we would be happy to play that. If you have a question or comment that Father Andy or myself would love to tackle. So thank you all for listening, and I hope that you look forward to our next episode. And I'm not going to tell you exactly what that is, because it's always a surprise for us as well. So with that, I say good night, and it's a late one already for us. It's already past 9 o'clock. I know you need to get back down to Meadville there.
Yeah, I got to get back to work.
Yep.
It's never a dull day. But God bless you all, and have a wonderful night and a restful sleep, and we will talk to you soon.
Cheers.